In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us listen to the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What does the Spirit do in the Church? The Spirit builds, animates, and sanctifies the Church. As the Spirit of love, He restores to the baptized the divine likeness that was lost through sin, and causes them to live in Christ the very life of the Holy Trinity. He sends them forth to bear witness to the truth of Christ, and He organizes them in their respective functions so that all might bear the fruit of the Spirit. How do Christ and His Spirit act in the hearts of the faithful? Christ communicates His Spirit and the grace of God through the sacraments to all members of the Church, who thus bear the fruits of the new life of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also the master of prayer. In our journey today, we've walked through the catechesis. Catechesis, the sharing in the prophetic office of the Church to communicate, to bear, and to enflesh, and to speak the Word of God, originates in the grace of baptism. It originates in Christ Himself, who is the prophet. And we are conformed to Him by that grace, and therefore all of our responsibilities in the Church are to flow from that grace of baptism, which is sealed by the grace of confirmation and renewed and elevated by the grace of confirmation. And all the sacraments of the Church lead us to Christ truly present in the Eucharist. We have seen in Mary that Mary's whole life and her heart is the type, is the exemplar of the Church, she who is the bride of God, the bride of Christ, and at the same time, the culmination of all prophecy, and therefore the shape and the form and the content and the melody and the harmony of catechesis. To live with Mary and through Mary and in Mary, so that we can hear the Word of God and keep it, and ultimately so the Word becomes flesh in us. So what we teach and what we share is truly the living Word of God. Now, there is a sacred practice that the Church is bringing all the baptized to that was marked by the Synod of the Word of God and the life and mission of the Church during the Pauline year last year. And it is to be a sustenance in our lives, in our prayer lives, but also in our lives in catechesis. And that is the practice of Lectio Divina, divine reading of the sacred page of sacred Scripture. Lectio Divina is an ancient practice of the Church which originates in the prayer of Christ. Christ Himself, who gazes upon the Scriptures and sees in His own heart their culmination, and whose fruitfulness gives life to the New Testament. And so the Scriptures then are the sacred books that are called to impress our hearts and to shape and to heal and deliver and to elevate our hearts. So the Scriptures then, in the life of the Church, through the Holy Spirit, have a particular capacity to mediate the voice of God to us, because they're the inspired words of God. Lectio Divina is really a prayer of the heart. And so there are certain steps in Lectio, which I'll describe, but they're all subordinated and they all are described only to encourage you to simply pray with Scripture in the Spirit, to hear the voice of God in your heart, the voice of our Lord. The first is a sacred time and space and place. To have a place in our lives, which can be difficult, where we can go to pray. It can be in our rooms, our upper rooms that are closed. And if that's not possible, to know that St. Patrick's is open for many hours during the day, that before work or after work, we can always stop by to be with the Lord in silence. It can be in our cars, on our lunch break at the office, or if you're in sales like I was, on your sales break mid-morning, and when some guys go out to take a smoke, you can go to the car and read a few words of Scripture. Wherever it is, we can all find that place to encounter the Lord, and the Lord adjusts to our lives. He wants to be in our lives where we are, so to count on His confidence, count on His presence. The second, then, is choosing something from sacred Scripture to pray with. As we become more familiar with Scripture, we'll have those favorite verses. Think, oh, I'm going to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or maybe Psalm 40, He's lifted me up and set my feet upon rock and put a new song into my mouth. Maybe to the Gospel of Mark. If you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. As we become more familiar with Scripture, we'll be drawn to the words in Scripture to pray with. In the meantime, as we're being exposed to Scripture and becoming more familiar with Scripture, a wonderful place always to start are the Gospels. The Gospels that are the sacred place in all of Scripture where we encounter with the greatest authority the interior life of Christ, the heart of Christ, as He speaks His words to us in Scripture. And a good way to start then would be to walk with the church as she is reading the Gospels. So looking at the Gospel for Sunday. You can find that online, or if you have a subscription to one of the reflection journals. And simply allowing the word of the Gospel to abide in our hearts. And the way that Lectio begins first is the Lectio, the actual reading, which is meant to be slow and simple. But it is a real reading, and maybe even vocalizing the text. Reading the sacred text. That reading should lead us to the meditatio, the meditation. And the meditation is really discovering, is there a word in there that is speaking to me more than the others? Is there a phrase that I sense is going to give me life for the week? Is there a way or a gesture of the Lord when He heals someone that I am being called to reflect on? So the reading should lead to kind of the highlighting of some words, the meditation of some words that we sense we are called to pray on. Always invoking the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth, and knowing that the Word of God is truth. Once we have moved from the Lectio to the Meditatio, then we have the Contemplatio, contemplation. Contemplation is really wordless. Contemplation is really simply realizing and experiencing the presence of God within us and before us. Now, this may happen without the Scriptures. This may happen when you walk into church one day, you're a little early for Mass, and you're sitting there and you just are abiding in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Lord, praise You. Present, Lord. And we don't even have to speak any words. We're just with the Lord. So the goal then of the Lectio, of the reading of the sacred text, and then to the meditation on a word or a gesture, like today, consecrating them in the truth. Lord, what is Your truth? Lord, how have You consecrated me? What does it mean to be consecrated by God? Am I consecrated to other things? Lord, I seek to abide in Your word, which is all truth. And turning over the word in our hearts, like the Blessed Mother, then leads to the abiding presence of the Lord in our midst, in our hearts. That abiding presence, that wordless presence of the word, really is the culmination of our prayer. Simply being with the Lord, with Emmanuel, who is God with us. The fourth step of Lectio Divina is the oratio, the prayer. Which means that after we've had some time with the Word of Scripture, and having meditated on those words, and at least trying to experience His presence in us, and sometimes His absence in us. We know that He's always present, but sometimes His presence can be experienced as absence, to kind of get rid of those other things that are not of the Lord in us. That those dispositions and the movement of prayer should culminate in the oratio, in the simple prayer of the heart. Lord, thank You for this time. I thank You for the graces that You've communicated to me. Lord, and I desire to remain totally consecrated in Your truth. Your word is truth. My brothers and sisters, as catechists, we're called to abide in the grace of our prophetic identity that we receive in baptism, to see in Mary the gestures, the shape, and the form, the harmony, and the melody of the catechetical mission. At the same time, to realize that we are called to be nurtured throughout our lives and throughout the year with the sacred Scriptures, praying with the prayer of the Church, so that we are able to abide in the presence of the wordless Word, the Word who culminates by His true presence in us. Let us listen to St. Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to Him from the majestic glory, "This is My Son, My Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with Him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining on a dark place, in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Know this, first of all, that there is no prophecy of Scripture that is a matter of personal interpretation. For no prophecy ever came through human will, but rather human beings moved by the Holy Spirit spoke under the influence of God. Blessed Trinity, we thank You and praise You, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray to ever abide under the prophetic word of truth, that we may always be consecrated in the truth, always renewed and refreshed in the truth. For Lord Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that this year, in our courses and our catechesis, that You may be truly present in our midst, that the Word may be made flesh in our hearts and the hearts of all those who come to this parish to drink from the life-giving fountain of Your Sacred Heart. Immaculate Heart of Mary, we are totally Yours, and all of our things are totally Yours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.